Tonight is really the in many ways the last night of Shavuos. I think the Rav mentioned several weeks ago that in appreciating how much is missing from our davening right now, which is particularly poignant as we think about going back to Tefillah B'Tzibur, or more precisely taking first steps towards going back to Tefillah B'Tzibur, it also heightens our appreciation of how much is missing from our davening and our Shmiras HaMitzvos, even when we are in Shul, and how much is missing all year long, and especially Shal Shogalim, in the absence, even when we have a Mikdash Miat, but in the absence of a full Mikdash. And in the time of a full Mikdash, so the Yontif of Shavuos was also, in a sense, a 7-day Yontif. In the days of Beis HaMikdash, all the Shal Shogalim were marked by the obligation of every Jewish man to make Aliyah L'Regel, to come to Beis HaMikdash, not only to present himself, not only to walk up to Beis HaMikdash, present himself in Beis HaMikdash, but to come with a set of Karbanos, the Karban Olah and Karban Shlamim, and ideally on the first day, but if not, you had the opportunity to bring those Karbanos throughout the Yontif, throughout the week of Pesach, throughout the 8 days of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres. And that includes Shavuos as well. In our experience as Galus Jews, or even Eretz Yisrael, as a non-Mikdash Jew, so we think of Shavuos as a day or two. Ben Deza Beis HaMikdash, it would be through tomorrow that we have the opportunity of Tashlumin to bring the Korban Ol and the Korban Shlomim to complete the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel if we hadn't yet done so on the Kor Yontif itself. It's a little bit like a Chol HaMoed. So this is sort of like our last chance, our last brekka, our last crumbs of Shavuos. And I thought that this year in particular, the idea of Tashlumin for Shavuos is very appropriate. Because the way we were thinking in our shul about Tikkun Liel Shavuos is that in a normal year, it's one night, and everyone shows up to shul, and you sit and learn, and there's shiurim. But this year, the fact that we were not together gave us the opportunity to spread Tikkun Liel Shavuos over more time. That the Rav and Rosh Hatzvi and I were preparing the shiurim well in advance and publishing the shiurim well in advance, thanks to the work of Aaron Tzipi Ross and the entire Adult Ed Committee. And so the Mar Makom was already out there for people to, and that was really the pre-Shavuos, and then over the course of Liel Shavuos, many of you took the chance to work on these sugyas and to have the Hachana Seder on Liel Shavuos. And now is a chance to come back together and put the pieces together in the Shir. So this year is Mamish, a Tashlumen, literally a Tashlumen for Shavuos. And tonight is a night, the last night of Tashlumen for Shavuos. And maybe we'll focus in particular on joining Boaz in appreciating the gift of Torah, because there's a mystery wrapped within an enigma, a puzzle at the very end of Megillas Rus. And we had teasers last week, pre-Shavuos teasers. We talk about the phantom figures, so the cameo appearances in the Megillas at the beginning of a whole slew of cameo appearances. We hear about Ali Malach for a pasuk or two, Machlon and Kilim make a brief appearance. Orpah comes and goes. At the end of the Megillah, we move from Orpah to the Phantom. At the end of the Megillah is a man even whose name, Ploni Almoni. We're not sure who he is. But although what he does, his identity is mysterious, at first glance what he does actually maybe makes a lot more sense than what Boaz does. Let's take a look. Boaz is interested in being Goel Rus. The Ramban explains in Parsha Vayeshev that the Geula referred to here, as is the case in the interactions with Tamar, Parsha Vayeshev, this is the concept of Yibum. Not the letter of the law, but the spirit and the Kabbalistic significance of Yibum, that the fellow who was nifter without children, in this case Rus's first husband, so his neshama will somehow be nourished, la'achar misa, if one of his blood relatives marries his widow and they have children on a Kabbalistic, on a mystical level. And so Boaz had said to Ruth, I'll be glad to perform Geula. Geula is this broader sense of Yibam. Boaz was a blood relative, but he says this other Ploni Almoni, he's a closer relative. And so Boaz has a public conversation with Ploni Almoni in front of 10 people. The 10 people is New York, New Jersey, 10 people at a chasana. So that comes from right over here. And Boaz tells him, this is not only a question of who's going to buy back the land of Elimelech's family, this is a question of marriage. And while initially the goal had been very willing to help buy back the land that Elimelech had lost back into the family, but once Boaz says, you're going to be marrying Rus as well, that I cannot do. To put down money to help the family, to bring the land back in the family, absolutely. But to marry Rus, that's something I'm not comfortable doing. You could do it if you want to. It's not for me. What does this mean? So why? So he says, "Penashchisas nachlasi." I'm worried that I'm going to destroy my nachla. What does that mean? He's worried that he's going to do what? So Ibn Ezra gives a approach al pipshuta. Ibn Ezra says, he's worried that the practical considerations. The second example he gives is he was already married. And Poemoy says, I'm very happily married. Rus is a wonderful woman, but I'm happily married to my wife. I'm not interested in having two wives. I'm not interested in ruining my shalom bias. Rashi, though, and then we understand well why he says, yeah, Boaz, it's a great idea for you. You're single. Go ahead and marry Rus, but I'm happily married. What does Rashi say? Rashi says something a little more complex. Rashi says, "Penashchis is nachlosi." I'm worried that I'm going to destroy my nachla. Nachla, not a reference to my wife, but Rashi says a reference to my children. Which children? Nachla Sashem Banim. Okay, so nachla, inheritance, might refer to children. But how does that go? Laseis pegam bizari. I'm worried that I'm going to ruin my children. I'm going to tarnish their yichas. Shenemar lo yavo amoni moavi. So the pasuk says, Chumash Devarim, that at Ammoni or Moavi, even if a member of the nation of Ammon or Moav becomes a ger, they're not allowed to marry born Jews. And they're going to pass that status on to their children. So the Ploni Ammoni says, she's from Moav. So the Pasuk says, not allowed to marry her. The Tab Ammoni Vel Ammonis. And Ploni Ammoni made the error. He didn't understand that didn't only apply to male Ammonim and male Moavim. He thought it could even apply to a woman as well. See, he thought that Rus was included in this pasuk. So that's what Rashi quotes. That Ploni Ammoni's concern, his hesitation, was, I can't do this. I can't do this because he thought that lo yavo Ammoni Moavi b'kal Hashem applied to Rus as well. Moavi and a Moaviyah. And therefore what? He made this error. Now, the error of thinking Ammoni, that not understanding this din applies only to men, he wasn't the only one to make this error. If you look in the Sugi Nivamas, the Mishnah on Ayin Vav and Beis, the Gemara goes from Ayin Vav and Beis to Ayin Zayin and Alv. The Gemara says, the Mishnah there talks about the din of Ammoni and Moavi. The Mishnah records that the din halacha lamasa is it's only an issue for the male gerim, nekevo se mutaris miyad. But the Gemara has a whole long story that several generations later, in the days of David HaMelech, son of Shaul's supporters raised this against David. They forget about whether he can be king. Who says he's even Roy Lava Bakal? He's descended from a Moavis. The whole back and forth ensues. Doeg and Avner, all these figures that, you know, learn Sefer Shmuel, they're military figures and they're political figures. The Gemara says there were also figures in the Beis HaMedrash, and they're arguing over this point. So it's not shocking that Ploni Ammoni got this wrong. He also thought that they applied to women as well. But two things do concern us. Number one, It's odd for Ploy Amon to say, well, it's okay for you. Ga'ol Ata, you marry her. According to Ibn Ezra, there's just a question of Shalom Bayis. So Ploy Amon said, I'm married, you're single. So it doesn't make sense for me. It makes good sense for you. But what's he, according to Rashi, he's saying, oh, it's Aser. I think it's Aser, so I'm not going to do it, but you can do it. Well, if I think it's Aser, why am I suggesting to you to do it? So that question, maybe we can answer. He's saying to Boaz, maybe you hold this mutter, but I'm not so sure. I think it's Aser. Okay, machloikis. But there's a, if you think about this, Rashi, something's very odd, logically. Rashi's trans, we're trying to understand, the Ploy Amon did say something in the Pesukim. He said, Pen ashchisas nachlasi. I'm worried that I'm going to ruin my children. I'm going to be pogim their yichas. So the Brisker Rav asks a simple logical question. If he thinks that the din of Moavi applies to Moavil also, why is he worried about his kids? He should worry about himself. Maybe my kids will be ruined. I'll be ruined. I think I'm violating a law of Daraisa of marrying the Moavia. So it's just a question of my children will be Moavim. I'm violating Iser. Right? So we've all, you know, the tongue-in-cheek line about, you know, people aren't necessarily always willing to sacrifice for their own avos Hashem, but say, you know, for your children, they'll sacrifice, which on the one hand is wonderful that we want to sacrifice for our children's avos Hashem. At the same time, obviously, we're supposed to sacrifice for our own avos Hashem as well. So the tongue-in-cheek aside, what does this Rashi mean? If he really thought Moaviv lo Moavia, if he really didn't accept Moaviv lo Moavia, so it's a problem for himself, not just a problem for the children. I mean, Penasha says Nachlasi. Penasha says Atzmi. What does this mean? So Brisker Rav raises this issue, and he says something fascinating. Biskurov says that Ploni Almoni and Boaz, ironically, are bringing us into the heart of how Torah works, the heart of the story that began on Shavuos. And so this is an incredibly appropriate topic to be studying in the Hemshech of Shavuos. And I mentioned to some of you last week, sometimes it's very small keys that can open very big doors. A big door doesn't necessarily have a very large keyhole. Sometimes it's a small detailed question where when you turn it and you answer that question, it opens up vast vistas. So Biskarov says, let's address the question of what exactly happened on Shavuos and what exactly happened over the course of 40 years. The process of HaKadosh Baruch, of Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai, the process of HaKadosh Baruch who giving the Torah to the Jewish people via Moshe Rabbeinu. It began on Shavuos and continues through the 40 years all the way to the end of Moshe's life. Right? Because there are parts of Torah that have the byline Bahar Sinai, the parts of Torah have the byline Baal Moi, and the parts of Torah have the byline Ba'ar Vosmov. So the Gemara says, Kadosh Baruch Hu begins to give the Torah to Moshe and Har Sinai, that process continues over the course of 40 years. Rambam writes the beginning of his Hakdama to his Perush HaMishnayos, which is really the Rambam's Hakdama to Torah Shel Bal Peh in general. How does Halacha work? How does Agada work? How does Nevuah work? The intellectual history of Torah and Masorah. Very, very rich Hakdama. Near the beginning, he points out the most significant transitional moment over the course of the thousands of years of the intellectual history of Torah. The most significant transition is only 40 years in, the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. Throughout the 40 years in the Midbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is conveying Torah binavuah to Moshe. The moment Moshe Rabbeinu dies, revelation is over. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will continue to communicate with Nevi'im, but not to transmit new dinim. Lo b'ashamayim, from that point, the moment of Moshe Rabbeinu's death, Lo b'ashamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to inspire us through the other Nevi'im. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us specific, timely, temporary guidance through other Nevi'im. But permanent Torah, it was only through Nevuas Moshe. So what exactly did HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach Moshe Rabbeinu? Did he teach him everything? There's a Yerushalmi in Peah, Perek Beis Halacha Dalet, that says, Kol Masha Talmud Vasig Asachash B'fnei Rabo, Karnei Mele Moshe Misinai. The Yerushalmi does say that any chiddush in the future that any worthy Talmud is going to come up with, already said to Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet we have machlokas. So what does that mean? So there were Gaonim who said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu every single din. Every single din. And the Rambam thinks the position of the Gaonim is absolutely untenable. He says, it's embarrassing. You mean every, Shas is full of thousands, probably tens of thousands of machloksin. You mean every single machlokas is a result of someone forgot? If every single din was taught to Moshe, that means every time there's a machlokas, it means one side or the other, something got lost in transmission. Rambam says, Chalila v'chas. You think, how could you impugn the Chachmei and Masorah? They forgot so much, they were so irresponsible. The Rambam says, that's absurd. And moreover, the Rambam says, that means every single time that they're arguing about, should I darshan this way and have this din, or darshan that way and have that din, that's not really what it's about. It's all just halacha Moshe Messina. Rambam says, that's all a farce. Rambam says, absolutely not. And he says, let's go back to that Mishnah in Yevamos Ayin Vav. Although it's at the end of that Mishnah, the line there is very significant. The machlokes about a related issue, not about Amoni Movi, about Mitzri of Edomi, the Chacham said one way, and Rabbi Shimon disagrees. And they say to him, Amru lo, the last line that Mishnah Yevavim Beis Yevamos, im halacha nekabev im ledin yesh tshuva. If it's a halacha, we accept it. But if it's din, if it's something that you're analyzing, yesh tshuva, we're going to respond. We have a kasha on your limud. And that's one of the places where the Gemara expresses the fact, the Rambam stresses, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not teach every last din to Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught three things to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai and throughout the 40 years. Number one, the entire text of Torah Shebichzav. The entire Chamisha Chumash Torah, word for word, letter for letter. Number two, he taught him many of the dinim of the Torah Shebaal Peh, many of the facts. Sometimes refer to them as Halachas Moshe Misinai. Sometimes refer to them as Perushim HaMekubalim, received interpretations, the basic explanation of every pasuk. And then, so many psukim and chumash aren't actionable. They're not implementable. I need to know what Pri Etz Hadar is. I have to know that's an esrog. The Torah says put on tefillin, but the Torah is so vague. Osal yadecha totafos beinecha. What does that mean? So the basics of every mitzvah, the basics of every pasuk. So that's part two of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu. A lot of halach, what we would say loosely halachos of Moshe Rabbeinu. Plenty of data, a lot of the data of the Torah Shebaal Peh. And then comes number three. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you should know that the text of Chumash that I'm giving you, it has, there are multiple layers of meaning in every single pasuk. And I'm giving you and the Chachmei HaTorah Shebechol Dar V'Dar the obligation and the opportunity to mine the psukim of Chumash to discover the details, the added layers of meaning that are there, to darshan the psukim, using the Midosh HaTorah Rashi's Ben. And that's the third aspect of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe, is the tools through which you extract the rest of the dinim from the Chumash. The Midosh HaTorah Rashi's Ben. That's the Rama writes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't teach Moshe every last detailed din. He certainly didn't teach him the text of Gemara. Didn't even teach him all the content of Gemara. But every valid, authentic Chiddush is Kranemer LaMoshe in the sense that it's an application of what Moshe was taught. Valid chidushim are not a Talmud Chacham just making stuff up and sticking into the, pretending that's what the pasuk says. That's a farce. Valid chidushim are applying the tools that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe, that we have in Masorah, to the Torah, that we have in Masorah, to seek to figure out what was the divine intent in writing these psukim, using the tools that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us to not invent, but to discover the added layers of meaning that Kadosh Baruch Hu left there for us to discover. Now, so what's a nafkamina? So that's what this mission is talking about. Something that might be halacha, might be a kabbalah, that this is a tradition, this is a din, or is it din? Is it something that you derive, you're a mechadish, by looking at the psukim? And the Mishnah is highlighting one of the major nafkaminas in whether any given halacha is part of mipi kabbalah or drasha, is does it lend itself to machlokas? If it's a drasha, so two Tamei Chachamim, honest men, could debate what's the most valid interpretation of the pasuk, and that's where machlokas comes from. But if it's if the din is b'kabbalah, so then the conclusion is foregone. We may discuss are there a muzzim in the pasuk to it, but if the tradition is if lemoshe misinai that priyetz hadar means esrog, no one's going to disagree with that conclusion. The conclusion is foregone. Im halacha nekabel. If one side says I have a masora halacha moshe sinai, so then we're going to accept it. There's nothing to argue about. Machlokas is only possible in area number three, not in area number two. Im ledin yesh tshuva. That there's a lot to say about that, and much more to say in some other context. But let's bring it back now to the question of ploni amoni, because the Brisker Rav says, now I understand this Rashi. It's gorgeous. He didn't say, I'm worried about me. Ploni Amoni says to Boaz, look, if you paskin, you're on the Gedolei Hadar, if you paskin Moavia, fine, I'm bound by your psak. That's what the Torah says in Parsha Shoftim. You come to the Shofet Shiyab Yam Haim. You go to the Shofet of your times. So you're the Posek Hadar. And you tell me, Mov Lemovia, I'm doing nothing wrong. He wasn't worried about himself. But what he says to Boaz is, but I'm scared about my kids, Panashas Nachalasi. Why the children? Because you, in this generation, Paskin Mov Lemovia. Great. So I'll follow you. But let's say in 50 years from now, the Sanhedrin reopens the issue, and they decide to darshan differently. The vote of the Sanhedrin 50 years from now goes the other way. So I'm fine, because I followed, my act of marrying Rus was based on the psak of the Shofet the Shiyab Yam Haim. But my children are going to be toast. If the psak changes, my grandchildren will have Yichus Pasal. Pen Asher says Nachlasi, Lasses Pegam Bizari. So it's Taka Gakasha. That's Taka Gakasha. Right, so Ploni Amoni is making a very good point. And why indeed did Boaz... Well, what I mean, Ta'a, Ba'amov Lamonis. After all, historically speaking, he was right. Three generations later, there was debate over the Yichus of David HaMelech, exactly as Ploni Amoni had been concerned. The answer, says the Brisker Rav, if you look at that Gemara, how does the Machlokas end? The Machlokas ends with... A Talmud Chacham getting up, Amasa gets up, and he says, "Kach mikublani mi beis din shal Shmuel har Amasi." This is a halacha l'moshe mi Sinai. This is a perish hamakubal. There is no room for debate. Im halacha hi nekabel, and the Brisker Rav suggests ta'av b'avamoni v'amonis that Ploni Amoni's error was to think that this was something that was up for debate. You paskin this way. He thought this was something that was derived from drasha. So you paskin this way, and another generation will paskin the other way. He didn't understand what Boaz did understand, but apparently couldn't convey, could not succeed in conveying to Ploni Amoni, is there is no risk. Rav was talking before about managing risk. He said, here there's no risk. This is a halacha mekubeles. This is not a halacha that's being derived, that's based on drasha, it's based on a discovery process. We have this din, ultimately, it does not brook any debate. And there will be no debate in the future. Amoni v'lo amonis, mo'ev v'lo mo'avis, that's part of im halacha hi nekabel, and that's why, in fact, Rus and David were safe in ways that Ploni Amoni was not capable of understanding. And so we see in our Tashlumen for Shavuos that the process that begins on Shavuos, not only did it continue throughout the 40 years, but the process of seeking to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is something that by design, Ribbono Shel Olam chose to set it up in a way that would continue for thousands of years. The Ad HaYom HaZeh, Chachmei HaTorah continue to look within the Torah to discover chidushin that are Nemar L'Moshe MiSinai in potentia. We're continuing the work that HaKadosh Baruch Hu entrusted Moshe with, to seek to understand the Torah, not to invent our chalila, to have our own ideas and try to jam them into the Chumash, but to seek to look honestly into the Torah Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us, using the tools that He gave us to continue the work of the being shutz from the Kodesh Baruch Hu in seeking to discover and understand His Torah. Rabbi said, thank you so much. We should talk about Zocha, the refreshed Kabbalah Satorah of the day and the week of Shavuos should continue forward for months and years to come.